today on Real Radio.
He said, well, Pastor, wait a minute. The message is finding a Christian mate. I never had a Christian mate. Should I leave them? The Bible says, wherewith, in whatever condition you find yourself in, therewith stay or be content. Stay at it. God's got a plan. Those of you who are married to non-believers, God is using your life for that non-believer's eternal destiny.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? We've been learning the scriptural answer to the question, why should I find a Christian mate? Now, we are talking primarily to believers who are single, of course, but if you heard our last program, you know that there is much to be gleaned from this presentation, whatever your status, even if you are married or even engaged. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
When we do a wedding here, or when a wedding's done anywhere, isn't it kind of fun? Watch, she's back in hiding, right? He comes out with me. I come up to the altar, and he's standing here. And the rest of the guys, they're off to the side. You want to know why? Hey, I'm just the witness, and I'll make it legal, and I'll introduce the marriage to God. All right? But he's on the altar. What does she see? The door opens up. The first thing she sees is an aisle, which leads to an altar. Who's on it? He is. That's the meaning of the word head of the house. He's on the altar. His head goes off first. He's the first sacrifice. To be head of the house. I'm the head of the house. You better read it carefully. It means you're the first one to the sacrifice. And all the ladies said,
yeah.
Yeah. It means that he's the defender, he's the provider, he's the one to protect and to watch over the home. It's none of this, woman, submit. First of all, give her something to submit to. You are the head. If you're going to invoke Bible, invoke it all the way. And the Bible says that we're to be like Christ. What did Jesus do? Did he ever say, church, submit? Come on now. No, he went to the cross. He took himself to the cross, and he purchased out of the world the church, says the Bible. Paul the Apostle says, this is a great mystery that I speak about marriage, for it is an illustration or type of Christ and the church, Paul says. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, that both of us are to be submitting unto the Lord. Long before you hear anything about him or her submitting, it's both of them together. A unified vision. This is what marriage looks like. Well, you say, well, Pastor, I'm only 22 years old, and I'm just kind of dating people, and I'm not even interested in this message right now. You will be. You'll get the tape. There'll come a time when you say, now, when was that? I better get the tape. You want to know how I know that? Because someday you're going to meet somebody. And that's important. You're going to want to know. Unified vision. Someone told me something so precious last service, because why he told me this is what I had said previously in the message, and that is, guys, let me give you a tip. It's free. Even in today's culture, where girls will say, well, so much has changed, nobody, everything's Dutch, you know, I pay, he pays, and nobody does that anymore. Really. Hey, guys, you know what girls, when they get together, you know what they rent at the Blockbuster video store? 1930 and 1940 Jimmy Stewart movies, romantic comedies. They love it. They giggle. They look at, oh, Cary Grant, he's so cute. Look how nice he is. I hear young girls talking about this. They're so nice. Look at, he opens the door for her. And they get all, you can see they're like, that's never changed. It's never going to change. The culture has made everything rough and gruff. You know what? Girls love to have the door open for them. I opened the door for somebody going to the store. I couldn't believe it. I opened the door and this lady goes, I can open the door by myself. I couldn't believe it. And I said, ma'am, my father beat this into me. That's what I told her. My father beat this into me. And she gave me this nasty look and walked through, and I thought, you know what? I didn't do that. I felt like that. But nice, courteous, gentle to somebody. Listen, that's not dead. That's not gone. It's just very few people practice it. Open the door. You know, listen, young man, you may open the door for that girl on that day because your dad or grandpa told you to, and she may go, what are you doing? I'm opening the door for you. Just stay with it, guy. Shut the door, go around, and don't go, oh, why did I do that? Why did I do that? No, stay with it. Keep doing it. You want to know why? The first thing she'll do when she gets home is, mom, you open the door for me. She'll call her friend on Saturday morning. The guy opened the door for me. He what? Just like we saw in the movie. That sends a huge message. Listen, our culture, our society is ripping this out of our relationships and out of our lives. Listen, a good-looking guy or gal's a dime a dozen. Find someone who's kind, loving, and gentle, and listen, pray for them. Lord, is this the one? God, show me more. God, have me understand this more fully. The fruit of the Spirit, things in their life like that. Unified vision about marriage. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. That's a great word. Philippians 2, verse 2 says, grant me this, Paul said, by loving each other and agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, working together with one heart and one mind and one purpose, having a unified vision. Thirdly, under this point, this is what you need in a relationship, is this, stability. God wants you to experience stability. People, listen, God wants you in a relationship to have stability. In other words, where there's stability, there's no room for game playing. That's of the world. I'm talking to two Christians. Commit your relationship to God and be yourself in the Lord. Did you hear me, anybody? Be yourself in the Lord. What I mean by that is Jesus Christ died for your sins, not your personality. Don't try to be someone else. It won't work. Well, yeah, but you know what, Pastor? I mean, he really likes the person I'm being when we go out like that, you know? Well, what's he going to like when he gets to know you? Don't do that to yourself or to him. Yeah, well, she thinks I make this much a year. The relationship's fractured from the word go. The trust factor, which was assumed, was already violated before you started. Tell her you make $6.75 an hour and say, hey, pray for me. I'd like to make, I'm worthy of more money per hour. I'll tell you that, girl. pray that God gives me a better job. I'm going to be looking for a better job tomorrow, whatever it might be. Be honest. If you've got to work in a carnal sense to establish a relationship, you'll never keep it. Be yourself in the Lord. That's very important. Stability begins with trust. Stability. It's what every real relationship must have. Now, listen, hang on to your seats. Ushers, lock the doors, because this is where it hurts. Families are disintegrating now in the, quote, church equal to that of the world. Divorce rate I'm talking about. And it's pathetic, because you know what? We've got a culture now of children who are saying, my mom and dad were Christians. Marriage didn't work. So I'm just going to go grab all that I can, and I'm going to avoid myself that wicked, horrible pain that they went through, and I'm just not going to get married. Sounds good on the surface to raw emotion. What they're not considering is the fact that God still made Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were not complete without one another. See, don't think. Listen, everyone, wake up. Don't think that God made a mistake by creating male, female, Adam and Eve, the marital institution. It's messed up because people will not obey God. When a home is fractured, for any reason, it's because God is not being obeyed. And you know who we are creating when we don't obey God? Our little children to follow in our footsteps, that when it gets tough in the marriage, they will bail because we taught them that way. There are situations, and I need to just say it because I'll get tons of letters. Pastor, do you expect me to stay under our roof when he beats me and he beats our children? No. Get out of there. Find a safe place. Like Abigail and Nabal, ask God to deal with them. And don't be surprised if he comes to know the Lord or God removes him from the planet, but let God do it. Read 1 Samuel 25 and look at the witness of Abigail. She was married to an idiot. His name, Nabal, means chief of fools. Now watch. I'm going somewhere with this. What did he look like? We don't know, but we know she was extremely beautiful, the Bible says. The Bible says she was pleasant to look upon. And she was smart. And she was spiritual. King David, when he came into contact with Abigail, he said, you know what? You are more spiritual than I am. Even his employees said he was an absolute jerk. She didn't divorce him. She didn't shoot him. God dealt with him. The Bible says, Peter tells us, ladies, if you're in a situation where there's a non-believer, and by the way, it goes both ways. Young man, if you're in a situation where your wife is not a Christian, you be a godly example and make them your mission field. You don't need to go around the world to some remote jungle in Africa to preach. Live it. Live it to him. Live it to her. That's what God called you to. He said, well, Pastor, wait a minute. The message is finding a Christian mate. I never had a Christian mate. Should I leave them? The Bible says, wherewith, in whatever condition you find yourself in, therewith stay or be content. Stay at it. God's got a plan. Those of you who are married to non-believers, God is using your life for that non-believer's eternal destiny. It's all handled, really, if you believe that. Stability. An all-terrain, all-weather relationship is how I would define stability. Meaning this, in the greatest Christian marriage, you still need an all-terrain, all-weather relationship. Because, watch, we're not in heaven yet. Oh, but Pastor, you should see how beautiful she is. I say we're not in heaven yet. Oh, but he's so handsome. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Life has its bumps, and God sees to it. It's how you handle them. And if you and I do not follow Jesus Christ and the Word of God and conduct our lives accordingly, we will handle them by what psychologists call learned response behavior. This is what I do because this is what I saw my mom do. This is what I do because this is what I saw my father do, so this is what I do. The only thing that breaks that chain is Jesus Christ in our lives. It's awesome. He breaks it. I'm telling you, he breaks it. He's so very good, and he's so committed to relationship. So God wants you to have a mate, but God wants you to have a mate his way. See, remember, I'm talking to the Christian. You're a Christian, he's your God, and he has a specific person designated for you in this life. And he's working on that. Let the timing be up to God. You follow the Lord. Number two in our study together, point number two is this. Why should we find a Christian mate? Well, because it's what works the best. It's what works the best. He's the creator of relationships. He knows what he's doing. I'm going to give you three things. Number one, God's best is service. I touched on it a moment again. What I mean by that is in a private sense. And that is, could it be, because listen, just even if you disagree, just listen to me right now. God created marriage, he created us, and he wrote a book on it, the Bible. He even uses marriage as a type describing the church in Christ. Given that, could it be that God knew what he was talking about when the Holy Spirit spoke through Paul to Timothy and said, write this down. The pastor of a church, let him have a wife and kids and rule his house well, or else how will he be able to take care of the affairs of the church and of spiritual issues? That's what God says. Could it be then that if that's true and the Bible says that husbands love your wives, why does it say that in the Bible? Isn't that funny? Wouldn't you think that just come natural? It says husbands love your wives. Wife, plural, not plural, singular. Husbands love your wives. And then it says wives respect your husbands. Men do not naturally love their wives, just like women do not naturally respect their husbands in this normal, bizarre, oxymoronic world that you and I live in. We think love just comes naturally. Infatuation comes naturally. The shiver up the goosebump spine, whoa, when he walks by, oh, look when she looks at me, oh. You know how long that lasts? Until you have your first argument, or I thought you mailed the bill, and I thought you licked the stamp. You put it in the mailbox with no stamp on it. Who does that? This is where you find out about, you know, am I infatuated with him or do I love him? If you're infatuated with him, you're thinking, yeah, I'm out of here. Because God wants me happy. Maybe God created marriage to make us holy. Maybe God created marriage to prepare us for future ministry. Could it be? I don't know, Pastor, but I'm looking to him to fulfill all my needs. I mean, look at him. Or I'm looking to her. She's going to answer all of my longings. No, she will not. I thought you said God made them. I thought you said God has a person that he's going to bring to me. He is. He does. And I guarantee you, they will not meet all your needs. You mean, wait, didn't God bring that person in my life to make me happy? I've never read that anywhere. Where is that from? General Hospital, maybe. The Young and the Restless. But it's not from the Bible. See, Pastor, I find this highly offensive. You mean God doesn't want me happy? That's not what I said. God will bless you with happiness. That's fine. But be careful how you think you're going to obtain happiness. If you are looking to that man or to that woman to meet all of your needs, you're going to be sorely, sorely brokenhearted. Because only God can meet your need. God brought this person into your life to bless you, yes. To be a joy, absolutely. But listen, to propagate more ministry. Like Adam and Eve, a helpmate. He's your husband because God wants to do more in and through your lives, plural. Are you affecting your community?
Yes.
Then God will double that effectiveness and influence when he brings both of you together. So many couples I see, they're serving God, they're loving on the Lord, they get married, and then they back off from service. And then 6 months later, they're in the office. We don't know what happened. They met each other serving God, or however, they were doing God stuff first, and then they here's what happened. It's so subtle. Oh, you know, we're really busy, and we got married, we got this thing going on. Okay, I understand that. So the first thing they cut off is not the Laker games, or not the, you know, Ducks, or whatever the thing is going on, they cut off God stuff first. I watch it all the time, people. Please listen to my heart just talk. They cut off God stuff, and their relationship starts to shallow. From the roots up, it starts to get shallow because they're failing to seek first the kingdom of God when he adds all these other things to them, when he does that. You can hear a pin drop in here because you know this is true. Don't do that. Are you married now? Or are you engaged? Then be serving God together. Young lady, where do you want to find a godly man who will be with you for the rest of your life? Look for him in service. I don't mean the service. These girls are going. I mean serving God, service, service unto the Lord and his people. I hear it all the time too. Oh, you know, we're gonna go to the College and Career Fellowship and see, you know, any guys there? Any girls? Any girls? Huh? How many girls are going to the College and Career Fellowship? What does it matter? Oh, it doesn't. The Lord, you know, the Lord. And listen, seriously, seek God and watch him add that husband or that wife to you. And God will increase your influence, your service. Listen, the service, the influence, the ministry. There's nothing, listen, please, there's nothing more dangerous than the kingdom of darkness than a couple that's on fire for God. You know why? I will hear junior high and high schoolers and single people say, you know what, man, when I get my mates, I want to be just like that couple. Satan hates marriage. Why do you think it's so under attack? In fact, I personally believe this. I think marriage is more under attack than an organized church. I think marriage is more attacked than a nation. You want to know why I think that? Because if you can mess up a family unit, beginning with the husband and wife, you can destroy a church, and then you can destroy a nation. A nation is only as strong as its family.
Some words of wisdom from pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study that answers the question, why should I find a Christian mate? Now, though we are talking primarily to believers who are single, there's much wisdom to be gained for all here. Tomorrow, we'll continue with more in this series that helps us make wise life decisions that are based on biblical truths. Again, it's called the Why Should I series. Now, from time to time, we share listener letters here on Real Radio. This next one, written by Nicole, is a bit longer than most, but you're about to find out why. She writes, "Dear Pastor Jack, I just wanted to encourage you today because I heard your sermon, Why Should I Pray? One of the things you said that convinced me was something along the lines of, when was the last time you spent some serious time in prayer and it actually changed something? Well, that one cut me deep. I honestly could not remember the last time I dedicated time to serious prayer. Lately, it has been little more than, Dear God, protect me and my husband, give us a good day, use us today, thank you, amen. Just two-second prayers. Well, the next morning, I spent 2 hours in prayer thinking it was only 20 minutes. I prayed for everyone I could think of. And that very night, it all started to happen. If I had more time right now, I'd go into detail to articulate how powerful God came to be in every person's life I prayed for. A miracle happened for each one of those people. Hearts that were so hard were softened. Eyes that were so blind were opened. Provision for people who had no way of getting money was given. It has been so amazing. My spirit has been stirred. Hallelujah. In writing all of that, I hope you are blessed today, because in allowing the Lord to use you, you have blessed another person. Your sis in Christ, Nicole." Well, thank you, Sis Nicole, or Sister Nicole. Remember, it doesn't take much. Just two or three lines of encouragement are just as welcome as a letter or email of any length. Of course, if you want to correspond through email or the traditional way, you may obtain all necessary contact information by visiting us at realradioactive.org. You can also get in touch by telephone. Our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.